Hi, you're listening to a podcast brought to you by the teaching team at New Life in North Lincolnshire. New Life is committed to helping transform people and transform places through the love and power of Jesus Christ. We hope you, in some small way, will be blessed and transformed by this message. Good morning. It is good to see you all today. You don't mind if I have my bottle of Vimto up here, do you? I figured it probably should be a glass of water, but anybody who knows me knows that I do. I love my Vimto. How are we doing? We're good? Good, good, good. What a joy to be able to share with you this morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Dina, and I'm one of the pastors here at New Life. And we are starting a brand new series today called Church. It's a very simple title. And over the next four Sundays, we're going to be unpacking a little bit more about who we are as church. What is the church? Not just in our local context here, but globally, we are part of the global church, capital C. And what we want to look at, what does the Bible have to say about who we are, who we should be, the kind of people we should be? And in the Bible, we find four images, four metaphors that are used to describe church and what church should be. And they are body, building, brothers and sisters, and bride. Very conveniently, all beginning with the letter B, which is great when you're putting a preaching series together. Body, building, brothers and sisters, bride. And so over the next four Sundays, we each are going to be unpacking and hopefully learning some new things that maybe we've not learnt before, but also maybe just having some fresh revelation of stuff that we do already know. And I've got the privilege today of starting that series, looking at what it means to be the body, what it means for church to be the body. So we're going to open up the word, but before we do that, why don't we take a minute to pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you for this incredible thing that we have called church. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that it was your idea, that it is God ordained. And I pray that as we take the next four Sundays to unpack our thinking, to unpack our ideas around what it means to be the church, that we will hear your voice speak to us, that we will hear your word, and that we will each learn something new, be encouraged, and that New Life will benefit because of the things that we are teaching over the month of April. In your name we ask this. Amen. Amen. I should ask, actually, if many of you got Easter eggs last Sunday. Any Easter eggs? Anybody get Easter eggs? Oh, it's a sad thing. Oh, some. Oh, we have. We got hands up. It is a sad thing, I find, when you become an adult, that the Easter eggs tend to stop. And I'm not quite sure I'm okay with that. I always get one for our children and for my husband, and I've never yet had it reciprocated back. I was just thinking as I said that, actually, yeah, they don't stop when you're an adult. It just some adults it seems to stop with. Anyhow, in our house, we like to do... No, in fairness, sorry, I should caveat that. In fairness, I do normally say... Don't get me chocolate, it's okay. But you know, when you're secretly inside thinking, but I hope he really gets me something. Because there's nothing quite like Easter egg chocolate, is there? There's just, oh, it's just, when it says about the land flowing with milk and honey, I think flowing with Cadbury chocolate would just be beautiful. Could you imagine just... Anyhow, Easter eggs, but that was last week. This is this week, church, the body. So let's open up the word. If you have got your Bibles with you, if you want to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians... 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a church in Corinth, hence why it's called Corinthians. And we're just going to, I haven't got time to read the full passage today, but I encourage you, go home, maybe in your small groups, read it, have a look as to the other verses that we're not going to be reading today, and just see what you can glean from that. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 12. This is what Paul says. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. And by that he's meaning the church. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. If Paul was writing to us today, he may say, some of you are from Scunthorpe, some of you are not. Some of you are employed, some of you are unemployed. Some are old, and some are young. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body, the human body, has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. And just skipping down to verse 27, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Let me read that again. All of you together, New Life, are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Paul is using the illustration that just as with a physical human body, we are made up of many different parts, so it is with the body of Christ, the church. We are one church. This is one expression of local church, and we are part of one global church. But there are many different parts that make up that body. And all of you are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. And then if we flick back just to the letter before, this is the letter that St. Paul wrote to the church in Rome, which were the Christians in Rome. So Romans chapter 12, starting at verse 4. You'll see a bit of a theme here. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. Look at your neighbor and say, I belong to you, and you belong to me. There ain't nothing you can do about it, people. Verse 6. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. We cannot do all things well, but we can all do something well. Let me say that again. We can't all do all things well, but we can all do some things well. And God has given each of us the ability to do something that will benefit the body of Christ, the local church. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, that's everybody else but not me. No, no. Paul says God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. This is all of us. We all have a part to play. Picking it up at halfway through verse 6. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Paul is trying to get across that when we are part of this beautiful, messy, chaotic, creative, amazing thing called church, just as our body has many, many different parts and they all work together, so too it needs to be with the body of Christ. We all have a part to play. Right, church, we're going to have to learn a few things, okay? So I like feedback. So if I say, we all have a part to play, yes? You say, yes, that's good. I'm going to get you being a noisy church if it kills me. I'm not too noisy, though. I mean, there's levels. Don't heckle me or anything like that. We have a part to play, and it can be really easy to think, well, if I just turn up on a Sunday, everything else will happen. Somebody will preach. Somebody will lead worship. And that's probably true because we're quite an efficient church, and we have rotors and all sorts of things going on. But for us to be the best, healthiest, most influential version of New Life, of this local church as we can be, it's going to take all of us playing our part. Because in our physical bodies, we function best when everything is healthy and everything is working as it should. You know, if you've got a toothache, you know about it. It's not just your tooth that hurts, that pain spreads, doesn't it? And it can give you a headache and in your neck. See, when one part is not working properly, it affects the whole. And I want to say to you today that I passionately believe that if we want to be all that we can be, all that Jesus is calling us to be, it takes you and I playing our part. Just as in the human body, so in the body of Christ. At my commissioning service, I said about a quote that was very popular and is still quite popular today, and how I don't agree with it. And the quote says, "The local church is the hope of the world." But I believe Jesus is the hope of the world. It's Jesus who changes lives. It's Jesus who can set people free. However, the local church is the way that God ordained for us to reach our world. So do I believe local church is important? Yes, I do. It's a good job, really, isn't it, considering the role I've just taken on. That's a good thing. New life, I believe, will be deficient if we don't play our part, if you don't play your part, and if I don't play my part. Doesn't mean Jesus is deficient, but what our church could be, if people turn up and think, well, I'm just going to go on a Sunday, and I'm going to get my Sunday fix, and then I'm going to go home. And I guess I could liken it. We're talking about the church being the body, and this might appeal more to the ladies and the men, but you can accessorize. You all know, men, do you know what it means to accessorize? Some of them are looking really blank. No, not your shoes. You might, for instance, you might wear an outfit. Like today, I could have thought, oh, I'll wear a nice colourful scarf to bring out the green of my eyes. Or you might put on some bracelets. Or if you're going to a wedding, you might put like a nice fascinator in your hair. You're accessorizing. But the thing with accessories, they are just accessories. They're not the actual, the main thing, the main part of the body. And I want to lead a church where people are all in, part of the body, committed, serving, not just accessorizing. Do you know what I'm saying? Not just, well, I'll come and I'll just pretty it up a little bit on a Sunday morning, like a nice floral scarf, and then I go home. I'm not knocking floral scarves, by the way. That's not the point. But there's a difference between being part of the body of Christ, the family of Christ, all in, good times and bad times, than just, I'm just a Sunday attender. And if I could just gently put that challenge out there to you, that if you feel, actually, I fit in that category right now, I do just, I'm more just of an attender, I want to encourage you, get plugged in, become fully part of the body of Christ, serving, playing your part, doing what it takes for us to be the healthiest version of church. Be a contributor, not just a consumer. We live in a very consumeristic society when it's all, what can I get? Feed me, give to me, give to me. Hey, church was never supposed to be about that. We are called to contribute. We are called to bring something. When we meet together, we should have words of encouragement for people. We should have verses that we've read. Hey, I just want to share this with you. Even if it's not specifically for that person, if it encourages them, why not bless them? We're called to be family, the body of Christ together, and the body works best when every part is playing its part. So, what does that look like for us to be the healthiest expression of church that we can be? Well, like any good preacher, I've got three things I want to talk to you about today. And the first thing is this. The parts that we play can be seen or unseen. So right now, as I'm standing before you, you can see my hands moving. I like to be quite expressive, like to preach, my hands and my feet are moving. But what you can't see is that my heart is right now pumping blood all around my body. You'd know if it stopped working, mind. But right now, my heart is pumping blood around my body. It's sending the oxygen where it needs to be, and it is sending carbon dioxide to my lungs. And then my lungs are breathing in oxygen and are expelling carbon dioxide. You've got a science lesson here, church, as well. Very, very basic. My liver, you can't see that, but right now my liver is breaking down the food and converting it to energy. It's also helping to fight infections. My intestine is currently digesting my food that I ate yesterday and this morning. My lungs are working and operating. You see, you can't see any of that, but my goodness, is it vital for me to work properly? And sometimes in church, when we're thinking about, well, how can I serve? How can I play my part? we can tend to just look at the things that are seen. And that's great. And we want people to be able to serve and be in roles that are seen. But let me tell you this. What if the role that God has for you is never going to be in a seen capacity? It's always going to be unseen. Does that make you any less important? Absolutely not. You know, the Bible says it when in the context of giving and in the context of praying, but I believe it applies here as well, that your Father, your Heavenly Father, sees what is done in secret and He rewards you. You know, most people here won't know that on a Monday morning when we've had church, and particularly over the last 2 weeks when there's been food crumbs everywhere, somebody comes in and just clears up the rubbish and hoovers and sets out the chairs. You don't see that, but my goodness, you know if it wasn't done. It's an unseen role, but we are so appreciative of it being done. The toilet's been cleaned. I have a real thing. I want clean. You want to sit on a clean toilet, don't you? You want it to be lovely. It's a very unseen job, yet somebody has to have the kind of the desire to say, that matters to me. I'll come in. I'll clean them. Maintenance, fixing things. A lot of the stuff that goes on to make New Life what it is unseen, but they are such important jobs. And maybe for you, the role that you currently play or may step into play is a seen role, is an unseen role. Church, I want to say to you, it doesn't matter whether it's seen or unseen. The fact is, you've got an understanding. This is the part I can play. This is what God has given me to do. And this, therefore, is what I'm going to serve, and I'm going to diligently do what God has gifted me to do. We are all graced being good at something. And I guess my challenge, my question is, what is it that you can do that you can bring into New Life to help make New Life the best local church it can be? We are the body of Christ, the expression of Jesus to our local community. Yes, we're not the only church in Scunthorpe, some amazing churches. But we here in our locality, we are supposed to be the physical representation of Jesus to our community, to our town. What can we do? What can I do to help make that the best it can be? You know, when we think about feet, feet are a bit manky, aren't they? But feet help us. Feet bear the weight of our bodies, and we need spiritual feet. We need people who can bear the weight of what's going on in church. People who can say, "Yeah, I can carry that with you." You know, our eyes see physically what's in front of us. We need spiritual eyes who can see the now and the not yet. Eyes that can see this is where we're heading in the future. We need ears, spiritual ears, that don't just hear physically but can hear the burden of the people in our community. Ears that can hear that there's loneliness and isolation. Ears that can hear that people are struggling and then can come and say, we need to do something about that. We don't all need to be ears, but we do need some people to be ears. Hands can help and build and make and soothe and heal. We need spiritual hands. People who, when people come through our doors, you of who you are, you go out of your way to bless, to build, to love, to soothe. Whether what you do is practical or more kind of prophetic, whether it's seen or unseen, it doesn't matter. The question is, what has God graced you to do that only you can do, that without you, we are going to be less than? The second thing is whether you're going to be a volunteer or an owner. A volunteer or an owner. You see, I believe that for church to become all that she was created to be, needs people who are going to do more than volunteering. Now, there's nothing wrong with volunteering, but what can happen volunteering is we have our name on a rota and we turn up and we do the job and we go home. But when you take ownership of something, it matters to you more than just, I've ticked it off, I've done my duty and I've gone home. Because actually you're invested in it. So when my name's on the rota, I'm not just, I'm going to turn up and do it and kind of, I've done it for the half an hour needed and now I'm going home. Actually, this matters to me and I'm all in, I'm committed to it. I don't just see this as a role that I've got to fulfill. I see this as a privilege. I see this as a part, me helping to add to the body of Christ. Me playing my part with what God has graced me with and gifted me with is much more than just, I've done my duty. Because duty won't keep us going when the times get tough. But let me tell you, when we go through some stormy times, some turbulent times as church, if you've taken ownership of it, and see it as much more than just being a volunteer that's filling a role, you will knuckle down and we will hold on together and we will serve together. Why? Because it matters more to us than just volunteering, but we really take ownership. And the church that we led in Hull before we moved to Scunthorpe, it was quite a big building. And we used to hire out to kind of different groups. And there was one particular group that I'm not going to name who it was that hired our church every week. And every week would leave it just not quite looking good. The bins would overflow. They wouldn't sweep up the rubbish. There'd be tables left out. And you see, for them, it was just a building they were hiring. It didn't really matter. They hired the building, did their thing, and went home. But when for us who were, this was our church, and it mattered to us. And in the same way, that can sometimes be how we approach ministry. Well, I'll just turn up and do what I do. Actually, no, I want to encourage us. Let's take ownership of what we do. Not to the point of, I'm just going to use the PA desk as an example. It's just in my eye line. Not to the point that Dan Harmon, for instance, he doesn't do this, but if he says, right, this is mine, you're not touching it, it's all mine, you can't come near. No, not in that sense of ownership, not in the sense of we just grab it and we make it all about us, but in the sense of this matters to me. It matters to me what our building looks like. It matters to me what our Sundays sound like. It matters to me the welcome we give people. It matters to me the reputation we have in our community. It matters to me, and it matters enough that I'm going to take ownership of it and do what I can to help make this thing work. Owners invest. Owners care deeply. And on that, sometimes in our bodies, when we've worked an organ too hard, or we've worked a part of our body too hard, it gets tired and doesn't always work as well. You know, like if you've been gardening or something, the next day you feel it, don't you? Because your back, oh, it's just aching. And maybe that's just me and Mark because we don't like gardening. If you overwork a part of your body, it can get broken, it can get tired. And let us never be a church that relies on just a few parts of our body to keep us going while the rest of us are fine. Because these parts are going to get tired. And these parts might get worn out. And we don't want people to get worn out and broken. It takes all of us. So whether it's seen or unseen, that's not the point. Let's take ownership of this and not just be a volunteer. And then, I guess really, it's very easy, isn't it, for me to kind of, you know, to go back to this verse from Romans, a beautiful, beautiful verse, Romans 12, verse 6. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. But then the question comes, I guess, is, okay, you're inspiring me, Dino. I want to serve. I want to take ownership. I want to play my part. But what is that part? What do I do? And sometimes we can get very caught up and in the, you know, what is the Lord calling me to do? What is the call of God on my life? And that is a great question. But I just want to take the mystery out of it a little bit in terms of serving in church. Because sometimes we're so intent on looking for the specific. What is the specific thing God has got me for me to do? When actually just get involved generally is a great start. And some of the things we do will be specific. And it will be a specific call on my life to do this. But then a lot of what we do is also the general. And it doesn't really matter whether it's specific or general. The fact is, again, we're serving. So a great question to ask is, like, what am I good at? What am I good at? What do I think I'm good at? Just think on that just for a moment yourself. What is it that I can do? What am I good at? Maybe for you, you're amazing at spotting somebody who's kind of a little bit on the fringes and just including them. What a gift for our church. Yeah. Maybe for you, you're somebody who's just very perceptive if somebody is feeling a little bit down. Maybe nobody else will know, but you're good at perceiving that. What a gift to use in the body of Christ. Maybe you are very good at cooking en masse and knowing budgets and quantities. Like, what a gift to our church. Don't ever ask me to do that because we'll either have far too much or not enough and I will have blown the whole budget. But you see, we're graced for different things. We're graced for different things. What is it? Are you good at maintenance? Are you good at just being with people? Are you a lovely, friendly face? Whatever you think you were good at, I guarantee we will somehow find a role, a part for you to play in helping make New Life all it can be. And that's not just on a Sunday. We want to be a church that operates all through the week. You know, my heart is that we will be a church that we open our doors throughout the week. There are people within less than half a mile radius from here who are lonely, who are isolated, people who don't see another soul from week to week. Look at us here. How amazing if we can open our doors and put on a coffee morning or a soup lunch and say, hey, come on in. We're here to welcome you. We're here to talk with you. Maybe you have a heart that says, you know, like, it bothers me that families are struggling. Well, why couldn't we do something about it here? Why couldn't New Life be a place that for this local community here, they know this is where I can go. I've got friends there. There are some lovely people who will cook for me and talk with me and help me. It doesn't matter specifically whether you have a specific thing or you just say, hey, just generally, I want to be a part of this. We can utilize the skills and the gifts that God has given you because we are the body of Christ, and the body works at its best when every part pulls its weight and does what it's called to do. So not just what you're good at, but what matters to you. What really breaks your heart? What do you hear on the news or read about and you can't get away from it? For some of us, we'll all have different things. And that doesn't make one better than the other. But what is it that really grips you? What is it that bothers you enough for you to do something about it? Maybe that's the call of God on your life. Maybe that's the specific way you can get involved. What time can I give? Now listen, we all have time. We're all given the same amount of time. The start of every day, 24 hours, we all have it. And some of us have more kind of free time, available time than others. That's fine. But listen, we all have time. We all have talent. We all have some kind of gift. And we all have treasure, our finances. And we can all choose how we use our time, treasure, and talent in order to facilitate the body of Christ being the best it can be. So what time can you give? Could you say, yeah, I can do like this much a week, or I can give this, or... The point is, we are the body of Christ, and we're all gifted in some way to do something. Yeah, and we've been placed here in this church for this time right now, not in 25 years time, not 25 years ago, but here right now today. And therefore I fully believe that you're here for a reason. I don't believe people turn up accidentally. I don't believe that we just happen to be here. God has brought us to this place for this time. So what is it that you can bring? What is it that you carry? What's in your heart? Your serving could look like being somebody who prays, somebody who gives, somebody who cleans, somebody who serves on a team, somebody who leads something. There are so many things, so many ways that you can serve. But this beautiful, messy, amazing thing we get to call church. First of all, let's never just neglect it. Let's not neglect meeting together. This is important, gathering together. But equally, what we do the other 6 days of the week as church is important. We are the body of Christ, one body, many parts. We are all in this together. And I can't say that without hearing the High School Musical song going in my head. That was a bad thing I did that day. If you've not watched High School Musical, don't worry about that. If you have, then you've probably got the song in your head now. But we are all in this together. And I know that over the past kind of, particularly 2 weeks ago with the commissioning, it was, you know, this commission, Pastor Dina, and that's great. And I take that role very, very seriously. But listen, I can't do this without you. I'll try that again. I can't do this without you. I need you and you need me. This, we are interdependent. This is not a, well, she's the pastor, of course she can do it. No, I'm not a one-woman show, nor do I ever want to be. I have an amazing team in Mark, Dan, and Elena who are helping lead this thing. But hey, we need you, because if just the four of us turn up, we're going to have a nice little sing-along. Mark could preach, but it's not going to be all that exciting, just the four of us. If we want to make an impact, this takes all of us. So please, I guarantee there'll be somebody sitting here today thinking, it's definitely not me. No, I'm talking to you. It is you. We need you to play your part. And I know, again, I'm talking to people who you have been under Russ and Sarah's leadership for a long time. I want to tell you, it's a new day. And I want to ask you, would you look at where you are at? Look at what you are currently doing and say, God, is this what you want me to continue to do? Is there something else you want me to do instead of or as well as? We're in a new day. And a new day calls for strength. It calls for planting. It calls for commitment. It calls for God, whatever it takes, I'm all in. Because this thing matters to me. If we're going to expand our influence as a church, if we're going to see people finding and following Jesus, and if this place is going to become a hub of hope and help, it's going to take all of us playing our part. We are the body of Christ. So whether you are a foot, a hand, a pancreas, a liver, an eyelash, whatever part you may be, whatever part you may be, hey, listen, it takes all sorts. It takes all sorts. Whether you are seen or unseen, know this, your Heavenly Father sees what you do, sees the heart you do it with. We will do our very best as leaders to always thank and appreciate everybody who serves in any way, but we will miss some things. But I want you to know He never misses. Every prayer that you pray, every pound that you give, every hour that you give to making this the body of Christ, the healthiest it can be, we're appreciative, but He sees. And I want to challenge you and leave this with you this morning. Whatever part you currently play, whatever part you maybe don't play, is there something that you can do that can add to our influence as a church, the effectiveness of us as the body of Christ? Because I need you and you need me. And let me tell you, Scunthorpe needs us. Let's bow our heads and just take a minute to pray. Maybe just in this time, just think on yourself, on the skills that you have, the abilities that you have. And maybe your skill is simply that you're available. You've got time. Maybe there's a real practical skill that you've never really thought of utilizing it in church. Maybe you're a great listener or whatever it might be. Just take a minute and think now on the things that you're good at and the things that matter to you. And if you're struggling, just pray, Holy Spirit, please show me how I can serve. Maybe make a commitment in your heart that whether that means having a conversation with somebody you know serves in that area or finding out from your small group leader or one of the leadership team. I want to be used. I want to serve. I want to take ownership of this. I want to play my part. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much because you ordained and established the church. Thank you that we get the absolute privilege of being the body of Christ. We get to be the physical representation of Jesus to our world. And Lord, I pray that we will each today take stock of where we're at, take stock of the gifts that you've graced us with, and look at how we can best serve your church. Jesus, we want everything we do to point people to you, to bring them to a place of knowing you. And so I pray that we will be a healthy representation of your body, that we will be united together, that we will each operate in the gifts and the skills that you have given us. And Jesus, may we do it with love, a deep, deep love for you, for our world, and for each other. Help us to make new life the best it can be, to give you glory and give you honor and point people to you. In your name we ask this, Jesus. Amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from New Life in North Lincolnshire. To find out more, do visit us online at newlifechurch.uk, or why not pay us a visit? We'd love to see you.